New York's Nash FM 94.7 cares about our community. We're talking about issues that matter to you and your family. This is Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie.
September is National Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month, and joining me is Dr. Catherine Sinclair. She is a head and neck surgeon at Mount Sinai West. Good morning, Dr. Sinclair. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
September is National Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month. Can you tell our listeners what is thyroid cancer?
The thyroid gland sits in the neck and it helps to control our metabolic rate by producing a hormone. Sometimes in some people, the thyroid gland can develop a nodule within it, which is a new growth within the thyroid gland. Now, most of these nodules are benign. In fact, over 95% of them are benign, meaning not cancerous. However, in about 5%, it may be that they are, instead of just a nodule, they're a thyroid cancer. And so thyroid cancer is basically a new growth in the thyroid gland, which has the potential to move outside of the thyroid gland to other areas. Thyroid cancer is frequently found incidentally, meaning that someone notes a lump in their neck, perhaps, or someone else notes a lump in the person's neck. Frequently, we see people who've been referred by dentists, obstetricians, gynecologists, who've had their neck felt and a lump's been found. They've had no symptoms and haven't noticed the lump themselves, but that's how it's been diagnosed. Interestingly, as we do more and more x-rays and CT scans and MRI scans for other indications, we also frequently find thyroid nodules in people because they're very, very common in the population. And that often leads to a diagnosis of possible thyroid cancer when that person comes in to have that nodule evaluated and biopsied. Most commonly, it's within the thyroid gland, which sits low in the neck, just above the jugular notch, the chest, so it's very low in the neck. Occasionally, if a thyroid cancer is more advanced, it can spread to lymph nodes in the neck, and people can feel a lump anywhere in their neck that's not actually in the thyroid gland, it's in the lymph node. And sometimes a small percentage of people do present that way as well.
I'm here with Dr. Catherine Sinclair, and she is a head and neck surgeon at Mount Sinai West. Now, Dr. Sinclair, what are some of the symptoms of thyroid cancer?
So it's often asymptomatic and it's found incidentally when someone feels a lump in their neck. But other symptoms that can be associated with thyroid cancer include hoarseness of the voice. And that comes because there are some nerves to the voice box that run behind the thyroid gland. And sometimes if a thyroid cancer has grown into those nerves, it can stop them working and cause hoarseness of the voice. Sometimes people can present with difficulty swallowing if the cancer is pushing on the esophagus, the swallowing pipe, or in a more advanced cancer if it's invaded into the esophagus. And sometimes people can present with neck discomfort. They kind of feel soreness in the neck. Often when they're working out at the gym or when they bend their neck back, they might just be aware of some fullness there. And that's another common presenting problem.
September is National Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month, and doctors in the Mount Sinai Health System are encouraging high-risk groups to be aware of the symptoms and promoting early detection. My question to you, Dr. Sinclair, is who is at higher risk of getting thyroid cancer, and is it more common in women versus men?
So thyroid cancer is much more common in women than men, it's common throughout all age groups. However, it's a disease that can be seen in young women, unlike many other cancers where it's much more common with age. We frequently see women in their 30s and 40s with thyroid cancer. Now, they do very, very well. You know, the cure rate is close to 100% if it's detected and treated appropriately. And then there are different types of thyroid cancer too. The most common type is probably more common in the younger age groups, but also can be seen in the 50s, 60s, 70s. So it's kind of a disease of all ages. So the most common types are called differentiated thyroid cancer. And within that group, there are really two main subcategories. One is called papillary thyroid cancer, and the other one is called follicular thyroid cancer. And of those two, papillary is the makes up the majority of cases. And then there are some rarer thyroid cancers, and we're talking, you know, less than 5% of thyroid cancers being of sort of 5 to 10% being of those sorts. And those rarer ones tend to be more aggressive. But the vast majority that we deal with and that someone is diagnosed with is one of these well-differentiated thyroid cancers. In terms of risk factors for thyroid cancer, there are two main ones, I guess. You know, there are lots of other smaller ones, but two main ones. So if you've had other family members with thyroid cancer, not distant family members, but mother, father, siblings, then potentially you're at higher risk for thyroid cancer as well. The other risk factor is radiation exposure. And that doesn't mean just radiation from x-rays you might get when you're having your teeth checked. That means radiation exposure if you've lived in a nuclear fallout zone, perhaps, or if you've had radiation treatment for a malignancy of the breast or of the neck, because oftentimes if you've had radiation to the chest or neck, some of that radiation can get to the thyroid gland and can increase the risk of developing thyroid cancer.
What are the medical steps taken after a patient has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer?
So the first thing that someone will be diagnosed with is a thyroid nodule. So the thyroid cancer is a diagnosis that can only be made after a biopsy is done. So initially, when someone finds a lump or has some hoarseness of the voice and goes to their doctor and a lump's found in their neck, they will be diagnosed as having a thyroid nodule. Subsequent to that, they'll get referred to a specialist, and usually that nodule will have a biopsy performed. Now, we have certain criteria that we follow as to which nodules should be biopsied and which nodules shouldn't be biopsied, and that's based on partly on what those nodules look like on ultrasound, and partly on their size as well. And using those two bits of information, we can decide whether or not a nodule should be biopsied. Once the nodule is biopsied, that biopsy comes back on is graded on a scale of 1 to 6. And if it comes back 6, it means that it's thyroid cancer. If it comes back 3, 4, or 5, it means it could be thyroid cancer, and the chance of thyroid cancer goes up as you go from a grade 3 to a grade 5. And if it comes back a 2, that's great, it's benign, and usually, unless it's really big and causing the person's symptoms, usually we try not to operate on those benign nodules. So there are two reasons that we would take out a thyroid nodule, just moving away from the cancer thing for a moment. So firstly, if a nodule's really, really big and it's causing people problems with their voice, with their swallowing, with their breathing, causing neck discomfort, that's one indication to take out a nodule, regardless of whether it's cancerous or not. But on the flip side, the other reason we take it out is because we think a nodule is cancerous or may be cancerous, and that's on the basis of that biopsy that I just mentioned. So they're the two main reasons that we take out thyroid nodules. And again, you know, how much of the thyroid gland needs to be removed with the nodule is determined a little bit by that biopsy result. Thyroid cancer is a very curable disease. For a moment, I'm just going to talk about the well-differentiated thyroid cancers, because the other subgroup, which comprises a variety of much rarer thyroid cancers, are more aggressive, and so I'm not going to talk about those as much. But the well-differentiated ones, which make up the bulk of thyroid cancer, are very, very curable. Interestingly, when we talk about survival and cure, we put people into a stage of disease, where stage 1 is the lowest disease and stage 4 is the highest disease stage. Thyroid cancer is broken, those stages are broken up according to how old the person is. So if someone is under 55 years of age, they can only ever be stage 1 or 2 disease. And even if it's spread to lymph nodes in the neck, they'll still be stage 1 disease, which means that their chance of cure is, we never say 100%, but it's close to, very, very high. Even if they have metastases, meaning that it's spread, distant metastases, meaning that it's spread to the lungs or somewhere else in the body, not just the lymph nodes in the neck, even then, they'll still only be stage 2 disease because it's very curable. As you get over age 55, it is possible to move into that stage 3 or 4 category, and that depends on how invasive the thyroid cancer is. Has it invaded into muscles? Has it invaded into the voice box? Has it invaded into the swallowing pipe? And that's, you know, as it gets more invasive, that stage goes up, and as the stage goes up, the curability goes down somewhat. However, it still is one of the most curable cancers.
In the world we live in today, we are always moving. I know from personal experience, for myself, I am a wife, a mother, and I work full time. I don't necessarily take the steps needed to live a healthy lifestyle or even hear what my body might be telling me. You mentioned earlier that early detection is key. Can you please share with our listeners the importance of early detection?
Sure. So the thyroid gland sits in a location in the neck that's close to lots of structures that are very important. It sits right on our airway, it sits right next to our esophagus, our food pipe, and it sits right on the nerves to the voice box that help us talk. And so it's important to be aware of the symptoms that thyroid cancer can cause, because if it's allowed to go unchecked, potentially it could affect all of those important structures. As an example, you know, the other day I had a young girl come in and she'd had difficulty swallowing for some months before and had gone to her gynecologist on an unrelated issue, and the gynecologist happened to have a feel of her neck and felt a lump, and so she got sent in, and it was a very big lump. It was about a 4-centimeter lump in her thyroid gland, and so we performed a biopsy and it came back suspicious for thyroid cancer, and so she underwent a surgery to remove that part of the thyroid gland, and it did turn out to be thyroid cancer. But luckily, it hadn't invaded into any of those structures, and she is doing exceptionally well. She recovered very well, and now we're just watching her to make sure that nothing ever comes back. But she's got a good chance of being cured just from that procedure because we caught it at that time.
Are there any studies of patients that have a history of thyroid cancer? And this patient that you just spoke of, would she have to worry about this being passed along to her children if she decides to have them in the future?
So when we talk about a family history of thyroid cancer, most studies suggest that you need to have at least 3 index cases within that family. Some studies suggest 2, but probably the most reliable data suggests 3. So potentially down the track, you know, when she has children, her children should know that she's had thyroid cancer. And if one of them had thyroid cancer, then that starts to look a little more genetic, you know, a little more in the genetic realm. But probably she'd need a couple of other family members to have had thyroid cancer for us to say this is genetic and therefore your children are going to be at high risk. And she actually didn't have any other family members with thyroid cancer. So early detection, as for many cancers, can prevent potential morbidity and potential problems for the patient down the track. So saying that, you know, we want to prevent problems, but we don't want to over-diagnose thyroid cancer too. And I think, so that's why we're very selective about who we biopsy, which nodule should be biopsied, which nodule should just be watched, and also which thyroid cancers should be operated on, because tiny, tiny thyroid cancers maybe in some circumstances are safe just to watch and not even do surgery on.
I'm here with Dr. Catherine Sinclair. She is a head and neck surgeon at Mount Sinai West, and September is National Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month. When we come back, we are going to discuss tips for preventions, how important early detection is, and genetic testing. This has been Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie on Nash FM 94.7.
If you'd like your organization or charity featured on Nash Matters, contact us through our website at NashFM947.com. And thank you for listening to Nash Matters on New York's Nash FM 94.7.